Welcome, my friends. It's wonderful to see signs of spring right now, isn't it? To see things bursting open and to be reminded that God is always doing a new thing and always giving us hope. Let's turn to him now as we open with a word of prayer. O God, who chased the gloom of the disciples with the gospel of Easter and drowned their desert of despair in a sea of grace, surprise us this day. Take from us the presumption that leans on our strength instead of yours, that mistakes our wisdom for yours and equates our will with yours. Assure us once again that our Lord's promise to be with us always holds good, and be present with us now as in the days of Jesus to make us whole and to make us holy. In Jesus' name, amen.
To bear. What a privilege you carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, a peace we often forfeit. Oh, a needless pain we bear. All because we do not still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee, find us all this
air. While they were saying all this, Jesus appeared to them and said, "Peace be with you." They thought they were seeing a ghost and were scared half to death. He continued with them, "Don't be upset, and don't let these doubting questions take over. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It's really me. Touch me. Look me over from head to toe. A ghost doesn't have muscle and bone like this." As he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. They still couldn't believe what they were seeing. It was too much. It seemed too good to be true. He asked, Do you have any food here?" And they gave him a piece of leftover fish they'd cooked. He took it and ate it right before their eyes. Then he said, "Everything I told you while I was with you comes to this. All the things written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms have to be fulfilled." He went on to open their understanding of the Word of God, showing them how to read their Bibles this way. He said, "You can see now how it's written that the Messiah suffers, rises from the dead on the third day, and then a total life change through the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in his name in all nations. Starting from here, from Jerusalem, you're the first to hear and see it. You're the witnesses. What comes next is very important. I'm sending what my father promised you. So stay here in the city until he arrives, until you're equipped from power from on high. May God give us understanding, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. You know, not surprisingly, when we first hear this passage, our focus is probably on the powerful way that Jesus tried to show his disciples that he wasn't a ghost, that he truly had risen from the dead. And how telling is it that he asked for and actually ate real food? Not something a ghost would do, that's for sure. The message is clear. Jesus really did come back from the dead, fulfilling all the prophecies. And the disciples really needed to be clear on that because they were called to be witnesses with a very important mission ahead. And Jesus tells them, you can see now how it is written that the Messiah suffers, rises from the dead on the third day, and then a total life change through the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in his name to all nations. Now, did you hear that? At the center of his message about the next step is how a total life change through the forgiveness of sins. I mean, that's a big deal for all of us. Some of you may have heard how many years ago a young boy's father died in a car wreck when the boy was just 12 years old. Apparently, the young boy heard about it first from a picture of the wrecked car and an article in the local newspaper. As you can imagine, he was totally overwhelmed with grief. But strangely, one of his very first feelings was actually guilt. You see, he remembered how some months before, at a family picnic, he was showing off with a baseball. At one point, he threw the ball wildly and it hit his dad in the hand and broke his thumb. And now with his father gone, all he could think was, what a terrible son I am, causing my dad such great pain. Well, he couldn't get it off his mind, and the anguish just continued until eventually he broke down in a conversation with his pastor, and he shared his deep feelings of guilt. As they talked, at one point, the pastor asked him a very unexpected question. He said, if your dad could come back to life for 5 minutes and be right here with us, and if he knew you were so worried about that, what do you think he would say? Well, that's easy, the boy said. He'd tell me to quit worrying about it. Yeah, he would, wouldn't he? The minister went on, so why are you holding on to it? Let it go, son. Quit worrying about it, okay? And amazingly, the boy did. Basically, the minister was saying, you're already forgiven. So accept the forgiveness and make a fresh start with your life. And you know what? That young boy did make a fresh start. And many years later, well, he actually ended up a pastor himself. In fact, serving a 9,000-member church in Houston, Texas, and writing over 30 books on Christian living. His name, James W. Moore, an amazing witness to the power of accepting forgiveness. And certainly the disciples needed to know that they were forgiven. As we know, all of them had forsaken Jesus. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Thomas doubted, and Judas betrayed Jesus in the worst possible way, filling himself with a guilt so heavy that he took his own life soon afterward. Yes, Accepting forgiveness can be hard, but when we do it, it can truly be life-changing. And that's one of the reasons why we include prayers of confession each week in our worship. But powerful life change comes not just with our being forgiven and accepting our forgiveness. Life change also occurs in our forgiveness of others. Because as someone once said, forgiveness is not about letting someone off the hook for their actions, but about freeing ourselves of the negative energies that bind us to them. And hear that again. Forgiveness is not about letting someone off the hook for their actions, but about freeing ourselves of the negative energies that bind us to them. In fact, the healing power of forgiveness is not just a religious thing. It's actually backed up by science and recognized in the medical field. For example, the Mayo Clinic even offers free guidance and resources on their webpage titled Forgiveness, Letting Go of Grudges and Bitterness. Because, yes, forgiveness even impacts our physical and mental health. As the clinic reminds us, forgiveness is so powerful that it can even lead to feelings of understanding, empathy, and compassion for the one who hurt you. Forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting or excusing the harm done to you, or even require that you make up with the person who caused the harm. Forgiveness brings a kind of peace that helps you go on with life. And I can speak from my own experience to say that is so, so true. Even in dire circumstances, when we're able to forgive, it frees us. Which reminds me of the story of another young boy. His name was Billy, and he was away at summer camp. And one day he received a care package from his mom. It was filled with her wonderful chocolate chip cookies. Well, he ate a few and then he slipped the box under his bed while he went off to join in the camp activity. But when he got back, he found that the box was gone. Well, Billy reported the theft to his counselor, who a little while later saw the camp bully sitting behind a tree eating the stolen cookies. Well, the counselor pulled Billy aside and he told him he knew who'd taken the cookies. So, will you help me teach him a lesson, he asked. And hesitantly, Billy agreed. Great. Now, if you would, ask your mom to send you another box of cookies. Well, Billy did, and soon another box arrived in the mail. The counselor brought the box to Billy, and this part may surprise you. He told him to go find the bully and share the cookies with him. But he's a thief, Billy said. I know, but try it anyway, the counselor said. Well, Billy went, and half an hour later, the counselor actually saw Billy come back over the hill, walking side by side, chatting with the bully. The bully was actually offering Billy his jackknife in payment for the cookies he'd stolen. But Billy refused, saying, hey, a few old cookies weren't that important anyway. What a drastic change, right? And that's not just something that happens with kids. I mean, forgiveness practice in all of our lives at any age can definitely have a far-reaching impact. For example, when President Lincoln was asked how he would treat rebellious Southerners after the Civil War was over, well, it was assumed that Lincoln would opt for some type of retribution or surely some kind of revenge. But to the shock of many, Lincoln said, I will treat them as if they never had been away. Wow, powerful. Forgiveness transforms. And as we, followers of Christ, are called to be living witnesses and to put into practice the forgiveness of others and of ourselves, it's important. But sadly, this is not always the case. Too often, the perception of the church is that we're just those who pass judgment rather than those who recognize that we are all in need of forgiveness. As I've shared with you many times, one of my greatest obstacles to returning to the church so many years ago was the shame of being a divorced mom. I feared that I would be judged and rejected, that there would be no place for me in the very church I attended as a young child, the very church that had baptized my two young children, the church where I wanted to raise them and where I wanted to serve. Well, it changed my life forever when they warmly welcomed me in my brokenness without judgment, when they saw in me what I couldn't see in myself, when they helped me to forgive those who'd harmed me, even as they helped me to accept forgiveness through the love of Christ. The issue of forgiveness has indeed played a very powerful part in my own spiritual journey and has brought me healing in so many powerful ways. Forgiveness, though, is central to all our faith, central to our health and well-being, central to our calling to love others as we love ourselves. And we must never forget, Jesus died that our sins might be forgiven. He made the ultimate sacrifice, a torturous death on the cross, that we might have a total life change through the forgiveness of sins. And now's the time to ask ourselves, for what do we need forgiveness? Where do we feel shame and unworthiness? And where are we resisting forgiveness? And just as important, where are we withholding forgiveness toward others? My friends, may we embrace God's forgiveness and may we be set free. Let us pray. Dearest Lord, even when we fail you, you pour out your love. When we worry and wonder what tomorrow will bring, you call us to trust in you. When grief fills our hearts, you plant God gladness and comfort us. God of Easter, touch us with your grace. Remind us, Lord, that you show us your hands so that we may reach out to help mend the broken. You show us your feet so that we may walk with those that the world just passes by. You show us your face so that we may see our sisters and our brothers. Risen Christ, touch us with your compassion. Remind us, Lord, that you open our eyes so that we may see your love. You open our minds that we may welcome your word. You open our lips so that we may be your witnesses. Spirit of hope, touch us with your peace. Remind us, Lord, that your love can change us from scared people to children of grace. You can weed doubts from our hearts and plant seeds of joy in their place. You can silence the panic of our souls with a peace that Jesus offers to each of us. O God of full hearts, touch us with your healing. Open us to your presence and your forgiveness, Lord. Transform us into Easter people through the power of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Forgiveness is an amazing thing, a huge gift that can set us free in so many ways, not only as we receive it, but as we give it. Know that in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven, and know But as you forgive, your life will be made even freer. And now may you go in God's love, God's mercy and forgiveness, God's strength, in the name of the power and the glory of Jesus. Amen.